Good morning. Good morning. All right. Everybody's awake, I trust, and had a good sleep? Yes? Okay. Just want to make sure that we got people out there to sing. Perhaps we could open to the look at the last page on our sheet here. And start with number 42. A little child of seven or even three or four. How many are seven here? How many are 70? Okay, so we got a good range here. That's good. We can appreciate that. A little child of seven or even three or wonderful thought that the Lord reaches out in His great love, not to ones who have great understanding of things, but He makes His message so clear that even the smallest child be able to understand it. Seven, or three, or four, or maybe even two. It's a wonderful message of God's love that He has for us. And hopefully we'll hear a little bit more about that as the day goes through. So perhaps we could also sing number 43, the next one down. One door and only one, and yet inside there two. It's a song that asks the question, on which side are you? And that's the most important question that I could ever ask you or anybody else, or that you could ask anyone. On which side of the door are you? Do you know your sins forgiven by the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ? There's many ways to phrase that question. One of the brothers that I know always asks someone, if you were to die tonight, where would you go? Are you sure that you would be in heaven with the Lord Jesus? And many people have to answer, sadly, I don't know. I'm not sure. And that opens the door to preach them the gospel of God's love and grace to them. And it's a wonderful thing to be able to do. And we have many in this room that have had the great privilege of speaking the Lord's love to others and watching the Lord work in their lives and have them receive the Lord Jesus as their Savior. And I trust that each one of you, little ones, have come to that point. And if not, perhaps very soon, because we don't know when the Lord will come, that your lives will be changed by the marvelous grace of a God who loves us and cares for us. Okay, how about, does anyone have a favorite of all the ones that are left here? Yes? Number 30? Ooh, okay. All right. Number 30. Weeping will not save me, though my face were faint in tears, that could not allay my fears, could not wash the sins of years. Weeping will not save me. Jesus, let thy glory, Jesus, let It tells us all these things that we can do, but yet not one of them can save us. No one can save himself by doing anything. And God in his marvelous grace has provided salvation once again through the work that Jesus did for us. And what a comfort it is, once you come to know him as Savior, to realize what a work he has done, what a marvelous, marvelous work he's done on our behalf, and how grateful we should be for that, because there is really nothing that we could do to please God in any way. Anyone else have another one? Yes, sir. 14. Give it a try. Have you been to
Jesus for the cleansing power? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you fully trusting in his grace this hour? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you
as I stand here and I watch all the young people come in, it's amazing to see the looks on their faces when they see their friends. Did you ever notice that? They come in and they look for a place to sit. Now, there's so-and-so, and there's so-and-so, and they get so excited about sitting beside each other. And it just reminds me of the time that we're going to have in heaven. What a wonderful time that's going to be, isn't it, brothers and sisters, to be able to see those that have gone before us and to be united with them in the presence of the Lord who loved us so much that went on before us to make a place for us in heaven. And what a joyous time we'll have there, singing and praising him for his goodness and grace to us. Anybody got another one? Yes. 32. All right. Number 32. What can
wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow.
wonderful thought that nothing but the blood of Jesus. Thank you for your singing. Now we're going to do a little exercising. Everyone could stand up. We'll sing a song that we all know. Because you said you were awake, so now we're going to test you and see if you're awake. All right, we're going to sing a song that says, "Wide, wide is the ocean." You know that song? Everybody know that one? Are you ready? Get your arms limbered up. Get ready to roll. Wide,
wide is the ocean.
Damaged during that performance. Before we listen to the message, let's look to the Lord in a word of prayer. Many times as we walk along the streets, or especially in parks and things like that, and many parents have felt this feeling, and perhaps you as young people have felt the feeling of having your parent, probably your dad, lift you up and put you on your shoulders, and walk around. It's a marvelous feeling to be able to be so high and see, and you feel so big and strong. And you look around and you see bigger and better views of what you could ever see if you were down here where your normal height is, right? You ever had that experience, some of you? And all of a sudden you imagine your father's walking along and he goes, "What's that smell? What's the smell? Doesn't smell too good." And all of a sudden, he lifts you off his shoulders and he goes, "Ooh, it's you. You are smelly. And I don't want to have anything to do with you right now." We've all been there, haven't we? Even from the oldest of us realize what it's like to be wearing one of these and to have dirtied in it. A dirty diaper is nobody's friend. Nobody wants you when you have a dirty diaper, do they? No. Although they love you and they care for you, but it seems that they want to hold you out at an arm's length and say, "Do something with this. This smells and I don't want it." So they quickly take you out to the garden, turn on the garden hose, and hose you down. Is that what they do? No? No, they don't, do they? Usually they go,
"Okay, I won't do the job."
And they put you on a picnic table sometimes, and they unwrap you and clean you up nice, and then they put a nice clean diaper on. And that's a wonderful thing, to have a nice clean fresh diaper on. And like I say, each one of us, from the oldest to the youngest, have been in that experience where we've put our parents through that, having a dirty, soiled, smelly diaper. And the reason I say that is, you know what? The thought of that carries through, in the sense that if you think of a dirty, smelly diaper as a picture of sin, nobody wants sin, but we all have it in us. We all have the capacity to do it. And especially think of God, the Father, who loves us and cares for us so much, who cannot have anything to do with us if we have sin in us. And like Scripture says, all men have sinned and come short of the glory of God, which is what the Word of God says. But we all know that all of us have had dirty diapers too. And if we think about it, like I say, dirty diapers are a picture of sin. But yet, thankfully, we have loving parents that clean us and care for us. But then our diapers get dirty again, and they have to do the same thing over and over until we grow up out of diapers. And that's fine as far as diapers go, but what about sin in our lives? How do we deal with that? You know, the Lord wants to hold us and keep us close, and there's some scripture verses I want to share with you that'll tell us that. But first, He has to deal with the sin in our lives. And I think we sang many verses about what that is. How does he deal with sin in our lives? How does he clean us up? Do we know? Yes? By the blood of Jesus. That's right. We sang a couple songs. Nothing but the blood of Jesus can cleanse us from our sins. The Lord Jesus Christ, the very Son of God, had to come down and die and take the sins, the wrath of God's hatred against sin. And he had to put himself in our place and take what was rightfully ours. Because you know what the Scripture says? The Scripture says that the wages of sin is death. What we deserve is death because we sin, because we're sinners. But yet the Lord Jesus loves us so much that he took upon that price of sin for you and for me. And there's nothing we can do. How many of you changed your own diaper recently? Huh? No, we can't do that. So that's why somebody had to do this for us. So the Lord Jesus took it upon himself. Now the Lord, like I say, there's a little story in the book of Luke, Luke chapter 15, that I want to read. It tells of the Lord Jesus and how he tells a parable of a shepherd. You know, the Lord Jesus appears in Scripture many ways as a shepherd. Because a shepherd is one who is kind, who is tender, who is a care for the flock that is in his charge. And the beauty of it is that the Scripture also tells us that we're like sheep. Anybody ever farm sheep here? Yep. Sheep are dumb, aren't they? Yeah. They're very mild and meek animals, but they're very dumb. They need to be guided. They need to be shepherded. They need to be fed. They need to be looked after. They need to be... They're very needy animals. And that expresses what we are too, right? We're very needy. When the moment you're born, you need your parents to look after you until you're so old. And then you have to get a job and all the things. We're needy. We need things. We're like sheep. But most of all, we need the love and guidance and care of a Father who loves us. And he sent his Son to be our shepherd. So in Luke chapter 15, it says this, in verse 3, "And he spake this parable unto them, saying, What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after that which is lost until he find it? And when he hath found it, he layeth it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he cometh home, he calleth together his friends and neighbors and saith unto them, Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost. I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth more than over 99 just persons which need no repentance." You know, the Lord loves to carry us on his shoulders. And when we receive him as our Savior, he loves to put us in that place where he can carry us so we don't really have to carry ourselves because we're very weak and we need help. And so he loves to rejoice and put us on his shoulders and carry us in a place of strength. And like I say, when we're in the natural sense, we can see further because we're on our Father's shoulders as we walk through the woods. And the same with the Lord Jesus. He wants to lift us up, even us older ones. Sometimes we don't think of ourselves as sheep, I suppose, or as lambs even. But the Lord loves to put us all on his shoulders and hold us up in a place where we're lifted higher than we could lift ourselves. And we can see things in a deeper, richer meaning and the way. And he can walk with us. And as he walks with us, we walk in the way that he wants us to go. And we're attached to him because he's holding us with his ever-loving arms. And you know, sometimes a shepherd, what a shepherd will do in the case of a sheep that strays is sometimes, and it sounds fairly nasty, but sometimes a shepherd will actually break one of the legs of the sheep to keep it from wandering. Because some sheep just want to wander. They don't care to be with the shepherd, but they don't know that that's the only way that there is to live. Because sheep are dumb, and they get it in their mind that, no, I want to be out there. I want to go out into the world. And we think as Christians, how many of us know brothers and sisters in Christ who have that thought in their heart and mind and say, I want to see what's out there. I'm not satisfied with just knowing the Lord is my Savior. There's a whole world that awaits me out there, and I want part of it. Something in me is driving me to go and enjoy the world. And yet we see what happens to their lives. Some live very miserable lives. And the Lord constantly is calling them back to Himself. And sometimes, like the picture of this little lamb, He has to break their legs to bring them close to Himself, because it's just like having a dog on a leash. He wants him close to Him so He can not only control him, but give him the kindness and love that he deserves, but to keep him in a place where he's safe and secure. And that's what the Lord wants for you and for me, a place of safety and security. And He loves us so much that in order to give us that place, He had to die and free us from our sins, that we would in turn love Him and care for Him. You know, the other time it mentions a shepherd is in the book of Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 40. And one of the things that astounds me and has for a while is the fact that when I asked if anybody had any dealings with sheep, it is really interesting, perhaps the older people will appreciate this a bit more, how there's a real lack of knowledge of farming and even fishing in people nowadays. When I was younger, and perhaps many were younger, that's where you got your food, was from the farm. And farms are a little bit closer to the town, and you had markets, and you'd buy fresh food. And there was nothing to see, cows and butcher shops where meat was hung up and the cuts were made right there, or fishing villages where you'd go in and buy fish from the fishermen right off the wharf. But nowadays we have superstores and Kmarts and Walmarts, and you just go and buy things. And it's all there for you, packaged and pretty. And because of that, I think we've lost a lot of the things that we find in Scripture. The Lord often used very simple illustrations from what He saw around Him, like fishermen and shepherds and things like that. And I think we lose an awful lot of that. And in some ways, I think it's a tool of Satan to remove us from these things so we don't grasp the truth of what God has for us. But anyway, in Isaiah chapter 40, it says, "He shall feed his flock like a shepherd. He shall gather the lambs in his arm and carry them in his bosom, and shall gently lead those that are with young." He shall feed his flock like a shepherd. A shepherd really is very concerned with his flock, especially with the young ones, the lambs. In fact, in the story of Jacob and Esau, one of the things that Jacob tells his brother when Esau says, "Well, come with me and we'll go to my place." And Jacob says to his brother, "No, we'll have to lead the lambs and the children very gently because they're very young and we don't want to overtire them. We don't want to overburden them." So he used that mainly as a deception, but there's a truth to that. We can walk. Sometimes when my sons were younger, we would walk with them, and sometimes I'd get walking and I'd be almost dragging them because their little feet couldn't keep up with me. And that's not the way to guide and direct. That's not what a shepherd would do. A shepherd usually walks before his sheep, and he calls them by his name, it tells us in the Gospel of John. And you can see how wonderful that is, that the shepherd would call you, and how you could walk with him, and he would direct you and guide you, and that you would walk in the way. And he loves you and cares for you so much that he gave his life. "And he shall gather the lambs in his arms and carry them in his bosom." Isn't it nice to know, as young people, when you were younger, that your parents would carry you? I remember many times rocking my children to sleep in a certain manner because they would—they were kind of fidgety sometimes, and sometimes it was a burden to my wife because I would go away on a course, and the children expected a certain way of me rocking them to going to sleep, and they wouldn't go to sleep properly sometimes, so it became a bit of a burden. But in that way, many of us probably have experienced that with our children, there's a certain way to rock them to sleep. There's a certain comfort that they find of being in the arms of their parents. Isn't that right? Isn't that good? Do you like that? To be held and hugged and held close, and that way you can hear what your mom or dad has to say to you. And sometimes it's a nice, quiet, peaceful time, isn't it? Maybe before you actually go to bed, they hold you nice and close, and they say, "How was your day? Your day was good and it was fine." And they talk about things and plans and dreams. Well, that's what the Lord wants to do to us. He wants to carry us close to His bosom and hold us close so we can hear what he has on his heart for us to do. And we can talk to him like a friend in love and in care. So he gathers them in his arms. The other thing he does, it tells us in a little bit further in the book, chapter 49. And it should give us great comfort to read of this verse in a sense. It's a sad verse, but it should give us some comfort. In Isaiah 49, it says this, "Behold, I have graven thee upon the palms of my hands. Thy walls are continually before me. I have graven thee upon the palms of my hands." And I often think of this in the sense of how the Lord Jesus died on the cross of Calvary. And you know the names of each one of us. You know, the wonder of God's love is that it tells us in the book of Jeremiah, it says, "I have loved thee with an everlasting love." And though each one of you may be however old you may be, do you know that before you were born, the Lord knew you? Before you were born, the Lord had already laid out a plan for your life. Did you know that? Before your parents were born, he knew them. Before their parents were born, he knew them. And the Lord Jesus died to save each and every one of you and each and every one of them. He died on that cross of Calvary, knowing you and your sins. And he died to pay for the price for those sins. It's a wonderful thought that nothing escapes the heart and mind of God in our lives. And we can never, ever hide anything from God. It's like that old smelly diaper. You can't hide that smelly diaper. We can't hide our sins from God. We might be able to avoid them for a short time, but God sees and hears everything. And before the eyes of man, we might be able to sin and do things. We might be angry with our brothers and sisters. We might want something that perhaps we shouldn't have. Right? Those things are sins. And even from the youngest of us to the oldest, we all suffer from them. But yet maybe we don't know that they're sins or don't call them sins because we hide them or guide in some way. But yet the Lord knows them all. But because of that, he's graven us upon the palm of his hands. And his feet were pierced by nails, cruel nails held our Lord to the cross of Calvary. But it was his love that actually held him there. Man nailed him to the cross, but it was his love that nailed him, that kept him there, because he loved you and he loved me. There's another scripture verse that I want to think of, and it's Psalm 40. Psalm 40. And it's a wonderful thing to know. As I mentioned, the Lord's love, he knew us before we were born, and he loved us in such a marvelous way. But in Psalm 40, verse 5, it says this, "Many, O Lord, my God, are thy wonderful works which thou hast done, and thy thoughts which are to usward. They cannot be reckoned up in order unto thee. If I would declare and speak of them, they are more than can be numbered." And in verse 17 it says, "But I am poor and needy, yet the Lord thinketh upon me." Imagine, from the youngest one here to the oldest, that the very God of glory, the one that created all the universe and maintains it, looks after it, controls it, that God thinks upon you. And you, and you, and you. He thinks about us. He thinks about us. Can you imagine? As we run around on this earth amongst so many billion of people, God looks down and says, "I see him and I see her, and I'm interested in what they say and what they do so much, and my love is so great for them that I sent my son to die for their sins so that they could come and be with me. They could be cleansed from all their sins and they could be with me and spend time with me." Isn't that a wonderful thought to think that God Himself thinks of us? As a parent, I had to think of my children, and I still do, and most parents here, I trust, think of their children and their welfare, and they look after them as best as they can, as the Lord provides for them. But yet to think that the God of glory, the one who created and sustains the entire universe, has a heart and a mind towards us in such a way that He thinks about us, that we're on His thoughts. Isn't that a wonderful thing? How many of you have friends and all of a sudden you say, oh, I'm thinking of my friend, maybe I'll write them a letter. Or nowadays, I guess, maybe I'll text them or Facebook them or whatever it is. But in the old days, it was write them a letter. I'll just write them a letter because I think of them. And you'd write them a nice letter. Say, dear friend, how are you? I was thinking of you and hope all is well and all these things. Well, God has done the same for you and I in this book. He's written us a letter, a love letter from His heart to us. And it's a wonderful love letter that I would encourage you to read constantly and learn more and more about that one who loved us and gave Himself for us, the Lord Jesus, His Son. God loved us and cared for us ever so much. But sin gets in the way, the sin in our lives. He cannot have sin in His presence because He's a holy God. So He sent His Son to pay the price for our sins. So I trust that this was a little message. It might not have been the clearest that you've ever heard, but the message I think was even clearer perhaps in the songs that we sang, that there's nothing but the blood of Jesus that cleanses us from our sins. But there's two things I want to do before I close. One is for the children, and one is for the adults. For the children, I want you to remember three things. And it's in light of the next meeting that we have is going to be a wonderful meeting, a privilege that we have to remember the Lord Jesus in His death that bought us and brought us back to God, where He shed His blood on Calvary and paid the price for our sins that we could actually meet like we do and have fellowship one with another as we've been reading in our reading meetings. And that is three actions. I want you to remember these three actions based on what I just spoke of. Are you ready? The first action is, hold your nose, hold your arm out, and say, P.U. P.U. That stands for our sins. P.U. Our sins stink. Now, the other thing I want you to do is go like this. I've been cleansed. Can you say that? I've been cleansed. And the last one is this. Give yourself a big hug and say, I've been loved. All right. That's the story of God's grace. P.U. That's our sins. Christ died. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. And we are loved by a God who thinks about us constantly. All right? Now for the adults. It's been my privilege in many ways to have written many songs. And one of the ones I'd like to share with you today in light of the message coming up. And I'll tell you what, it's very simple. It says, all I am, You have made me all I am. All I was, You forgave me all I was. By the blood of Your Son, it is finished, it is done. Now just like Him, I will be just like Him. Now if you could repeat that with me once or twice, and then I'll share the tune with you, and we can sing it a couple times, and we'll end in prayer. Okay. All I am, You have made me all I am. All I was, You forgave me all I was. By the blood of Your Son, it is finished, it is done. Now just like Him, I will be just like Him. Okay, and the song goes like this. All I am, You have made me all I am. All I was, You forgave me all I was. By the blood of Your Son, it is finished, it is done. Now just like Him, I will be just like Him. All I am, you have made me all I am. All I was, you forgave me all I was. By the blood of your Son, it is finished, it is done. Now just like him, I will be. Just like him. One more time. All I am, you have made me all I am. All I was, you forgave me all I was. By the blood of your Son, it is finished, it is done, now just like him, I will be just like him. Our Father and our God, we do indeed give thee thanks for that marvelous privilege. How we fail to understand or comprehend the measure of your marvelous love and grace to us in providing your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, that willing sacrifice who died as a substitute for our sins. Father, when we look around, all we see is the evil and wickedness of this world. And we thank thee that thou hast given us protection and care and a heart that thinks of us constantly to guide us, to direct us, to hold us close when we need the comfort and peace, to put us on the shoulders of one who loves us and cares for us and carries us above the filth of this world. But we thank you especially for that marvelous love and grace provided such a depth of mercy to provide for our sins, so we would be able to, once again, to be like him. It astounds us, Father, that would be enough to be saved from our sins, but to be like him, to have an inheritance in heaven, and all those other blessings that we receive is just beyond us. We thank thee once again for this time, thanking you especially for the upcoming meeting. If the Lord doesn't come, we just pray for a true spirit of thanksgiving for what he has done in each and every heart here, from the youngest to the oldest. We just trust this message may have touched the heart of the young and also the old, and just ask thy blessing to continue upon us as we continue on our journey. Pray that the Lord would be our guide in all things, and thanking thee for thy Spirit to give us wisdom and guidance to continue on also. In Jesus' name, amen.